going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen live on the radio, 92.9 FM or 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio dial, you can stay up to date with everything happening here at the station. You can download the Odyssey app. It's free to download, free to listen. You can even listen on demand, stream anytime, anywhere, or listen on demand. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. Glad that he is with me. You can always follow him on Twitter, on X, at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
How's it going?
Oh, man, it is. It's going. So let's tell everybody what we got coming up on the program. Kevin Cerrito is about to walk in here in just a moment. We'll start the show with some buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. We'll obviously get into what happened last night in Oklahoma City as the Grizzlies fall again. T's and P's to anyone that heroically decided, you know, how can you take the Grizzlies in this game? Exactly, that's how you take the Grizzlies. And the Grizzlies had the basketball down 16 with about 35 seconds. And it was one of those ones where I think if they would have scored, OKC was probably going to hold the ball out. Instead, the Grizzlies turned it over, which was, of course, a theme of the night.
Shocking.
And it turned into a dunk, which was also a theme of the night last night. And, of course, the Thunder win and cover, knocking off the Grizzlies. So the Grizzlies now fall to 0-2. They will return home tomorrow night for Game 3. Glory's last shot. Final stand.
They've got Saturday.
Yeah, I'd like some math. I felt like it used to always be, if you lost Game 3, Game 4 was just a formality. But it seems like in recent memory, teams that go down 3-0, they've actually fought back in Game 4. Like, I'm thinking last year,
was that Dallas?
The Dallas did it in the finals. Yep. But also, the T-Wolves went down 3-0 to the Mavs. And then they came back and won Game 4. I feel like it used to never be that way. It felt like it was always, you lost Game 3, and it was just like, all right.
Okay, pack it in. We're good to go.
Maybe I need to see some data versus home versus road.
Yeah, it could be splits.
Like, do you want to get on the plane again? Whatnot. But Grizzlies.com/playoffs, if you want to be in the building tomorrow night, it is going to be a late one, 8:30 on TNT, although you can... One last time, watch on FanDuel Sports Network. As we mentioned earlier this week, this is the last year in which you can watch the first round of the playoffs on the local TV markets. We'll maybe discuss a little bit more of that when we get into our TV timeout, because now I welcome to the studio the MC of Fun and Games here in Memphis. He's also the host of Writer Than Right Trivia. We will have tickets to tomorrow night's playoff game to give away on Writer Than Right Trivia, so make sure you're listening at 10:30 a.m. on the Jeff Calkins Show. The website, CerritoEntertainment.com, on Twitter, on X, at Cerrito. Kevin, good day, sir.
Good day. Playoff tickets. I like the sound of that.
Playoff tickets. Not play in. Yes. Playoff.
We're into it. The official postseason.
Woo!
Last Wednesday, we were going back and forth with CJ. You got to call it the postseason, right? The play-in is the postseason, or is it the purgatory postseason, whatever we settled on.
I believe the official NBA terminology is postseason, but it is not the playoffs.
It's after the season, before the playoffs.
The bracket is the playoff.
That is the postseason. It is post-regular season.
Right, because I think also, though, if you go to the standings,
if you look at them right now.
It's like clinch postseason.
Yeah.
But it's not a playoff berth.
You can clinch the postseason.
Correct.
If you look at the actual just standings right now, you know how normally they just have all the letters?
Yep.
They have all the letters as well, but it is reshuffled based on who actually made the playoffs or not.
Yeah, so I think technically the Grizzlies clinched the postseason berth with their regular season record, and then I believe the way that the NBA categorizes it or whatever, I guess the way that they would qualify it is the Grizzlies qualified for the playoffs when they beat the Mavericks on Friday.
Correct. Like, if I look at it right now, you have the Heat are seeded higher than Atlanta and Chicago, who they have a worse record than.
Yep. And that's
because they made the playoffs.
Yeah, this is the NBA. Everything makes sense. So we'll start off with some Grizzlies, get into a little bit of mania with Kevin. We'll get into our TV timeout next segment. I think there might be an ESPN Fox Cold War. I've kind of felt this for a while. We'll get into that as well. Also, suddenly Adam Silver now does care about TV ratings. Like, this is always fun to watch the mental gymnastics of why do people care about ratings? Well, it's like, well, you say that when the ratings aren't good, but then when the ratings are good, all of a sudden everybody cares about ratings. So I enjoyed that mental gymnastics that we've been watching. Also, bit maybe of an Aaron Rodgers, his future update. Get into that. We'll do the list during hour number two. We will also talk with CJ Hurt. He joins us each and every Wednesday on the program. We'll tell your story, and then we will get out of here. But without further ado, let's get into some buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit.
Who bought popcorn, Jeffrey? There's popcorn all over the place over here.
That would be John. I don't know if he bought it. I don't know if he brought it. I don't know if he... Our vending machine...
Definitely got.
We don't have them anymore.
I definitely got some popcorn over here.
John's a snacker.
Yeah. Shout out to John.
Yeah, John. I think that was Roser's nickname for him. I think they called him Snacks because John would always just have snacks everywhere. All right, buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. There are still positives to take from this series against Oklahoma City.
Woo! All right, so this is one I want to buy this one, right?
I think we all do. I think that's what's actually interesting to me psychologically. You know, for someone that is a eternal optimist, I can imagine when people are watching the team and you're not seeing success, everyone's a bunch of complainers, hating, looking for anything to be upset about. I actually think the opposite is true with this team. I think we are so beaten down with this team, we are so willing to lower the standard to where basically we're just like, show us something. Give us anything to believe in, and we'll try to roll with that. Like, if you think about throughout the course of what we've done the last 2.5 months, sitting at second in the West.
Right.
All right, we're not as good as the Thunder, but... finish second in the West.
That ain't bad. That means you should be in the Western Conference Finals.
Right, and maybe someone else knocks the Thunder off before you get there, but hey, maybe you could win two playoff series. You'll be at home. Like, all that. All right, well, then they fall out of second in the West. Well, maybe the 3-6 isn't that bad. Like, it's Memphis.
3-6 is great. Yeah.
Right, it's 3-6. Like, we can have a lot of fun with that. You're still going to be a home team. You still are avoiding the Thunder until the Western Conference Finals. Well, then it's like, 4-5, like... you're hosting a home game, like home. You get the home playoff series. That's great. Then we developed into just avoid the play-in, and then we get into the play-in. Well, if you can beat the Warriors, then the Rockets are beatable. Like, what, awesome! And then just win a play-in game. Just have a good good time. And now, like, we have, I do think, like, we've actually proven throughout the course of these few months, we will actually look for positives. And I think that's kind of where everybody's at right now. So the question remains is, like, what could that be?
It's what's been exhausting is we're trying to find, you know, the silver lining in not great situations. And that's where the Grizzlies have been here for most of the month, right? It's not a great situation to be in. So it's like, it's really trying to find the positives, right? Said the bright side of life. Like, let's try to, you know, yeah, you're in the playoffs, right? That's a positive. Is it? I mean, historically, I guess you can say the stat that I've heard, you know, how many times have the Grizzlies made the playoffs out of the 24 years they've been here?
So let's think, three.
It's been seven, at least 10 times.
Seven yeah. straight, right? And then right. I think it was three. So three in the original pyramid.
Is it 14 of the 24? I think it might be. I keep interrupting your math. But
I think it also depends on, I do not count the bubble play-in or whatever we deemed that. Remember they played Portland for the right to be in the playoff bracket, but they weren't. So then the next year you've had three straight and then a break and four. So this team has made the playoffs for 15 of the 24 seasons. But in this 25, I think this is the 25th season. I think this is the 25th season. In 25. Memphis.
Something. Yeah, sure.
I think 01 is.
It was 01. It was, yeah, September 01 that the Grizzlies.
I'm pretty sure it's the 25th season.
But the pyramid. But
basically two thirds of it.
Does that. Is that a positive?
Three-fifths,
I mean, that's
sorry.
A positive. That's a small positive. That's a small positive to say that, you know, you're in the playoffs. But I have not seen any other positive. Is the positive, here's a positive, Jeffrey. Like, okay, would the Grizzlies know that they're going to need to find a new coach? I feel like we,
yeah,
is that, I, or have we well, reached I that think, conclusion?
I think we're
already?
Kind of along the same lines. I think for me personally, the biggest positives are, and I think to everyone watching the team throughout the season, this isn't a revelation, but it's now very apparent you're not good enough. And
that is, yeah, that's obvious.
But I also think what complicates it is
that a positive though?
Yeah, because I think,
well,
I don't
it's not
think
if you get through the summer I don't and think nothing you can lie big to, happens.
I don't
though.
Think you can lie to yourself anymore.
Oh, you're saying from the front office perspective?
Yes.
Because, all right, let's say from the fan perspective, well, yeah, well, you hope that the front office is like, okay, I get it now. The front office gets it. This team has got to change. Something's got to change. Something big has got to change on this team besides just the coach. I feel like they should be thinking that, and I think the fans are thinking that. But the problem is you could have another summer like you talked 25 years here in Memphis. How many summers have we seen something big happen?
So
what has happened this big in the summertime? What happens? Tell me the biggest summertime transaction that changed this franchise. It's hard to do. It's hard to do in Memphis.
I mean, I think you could make the argument. It took a while to get there. But when the Grizzlies acquired Tony Allen, that was a positive.
Sure, but it was not something that you...
It didn't happen immediately.
Right, so if something... it's more likely you get through the summer, nothing big happens, so the fans are now knowing
the
reality.
The trade was in the summer.
Also, at the time, not considered to be what it turned out.
Jeff is famously, like, what are you doing? Like, that call.
Right. The biggest moments were in the draft that happened, and, of course, we know the Grizzlies are not now going to be involved in the draft because they played in to this...
unless they move in. Somehow.
Right, unless some of their transactions make them get in, which is not really what fans want, right? We want this team, we want a veteran to pair with
it's fair to say this. If your big move this summer is moving into the draft and taking a player, that will upset fans more than
it's not gonna
taking
more
a swing on trading for a current player.
It seems like It's got the front office. I think everybody has come to the conclusion, front office fans, right, we agree, everybody's come to the conclusion, this team is not built for success at this moment. It has some great pieces on it, some great players that could be part of something big, but the current construction of this roster with this coach, it's not, we need a new coach. We're going to need to move around some of these players and improve the quality of play on the basketball court. I think the fans in the front office realize that. thing is now it's up to the front office to make those moves, because if they don't make those moves, the fans have realized that at this point. Will they be bought in for next season? And you're talking about tickets, season tickets. You want to talk about supporting this team. Like, if something doesn't happen in this summer, the fans have just gotten shown this is the ceiling of the team here. This is how good you are.
Right. Your answer was just run it back and, right, and hope that your guys are better.
Right. So, like, you're put in a situation where you've got to do something. But then you don't want to be forced into doing the thing that the national media wants you to do, which is get rid of Ja Morant, right? That still seems so stupid to me. But I think everybody else is in play. And they should be.
So I think it's what's interesting to me is I thought prior to this week, Jaren was still probably in the untouchable category with Ja.
One of the biggest developments of this series.
I still think he is in that category. Now, here is where... But here's a scenario that...
I don't think he should be, if you're saying he is. I mean, obviously he had an amazing season, and when Ja's out, he is the guy.
This would be my argument.
And that's, to me, why you could trade him.
I'm not even trying to put you on the spot.
The greatest asset you have.
Because I'm all about dealing in reality. I don't care about the emotions of it. But what I would argue for Jaren is, in my mind, Jaren is the only guy that is truly a part of your core that actually plays defense. Like, everyone else is not defensive-minded. Some guys do it better than others. Because even...
I don't even
think Edie qualifies. Do you, George? He's obviously different because it's not just purely offense versus defense. But like, when I think of what does Zach do best, it's basically set picks and rebound.
Yeah, I mean, rebounding is a pretty big part of defense in my eyes. But like, when it comes to actual like
defending,
no, he's not a great defender. He's not gonna like face guard someone.
So my argument would be for that. But this is the scenario that I do think is in play. So. It seems to me it's going to be coin flippy if Jaren's going to win third team all NBA. I think he could. I truly think it's coin flippy. I think he could, It wouldn't surprise me to see him get third team. It wouldn't surprise me to see him left off.
Sure.
So because of that, if indeed he does make third team, then yes, you can offer him the super max, but really what it boils down to, there's a legitimate question. Should you offer him the Supermax? And the scenario that I could see in my head is contract talks stall and everyone doesn't get the warm and fuzzies. And rather than, well, we'll try to figure it out next summer, you trade him with the opportunity of somebody else can have him for a year, have his bird rights, renegotiate, and get a new deal that way.
He's got a year left on his contract, right?
Correct.
And nobody wants to see any of the big three get traded, right? We don't want to. But I feel like something's got to happen. And in order, if you really want to get value back to win now with Ja, you're going to have to move one of those guys. And
I'm buying it. I thought of a positive.
All right, you got a positive. Let's hear it.
No joke. I've been impressed with Ja. As bad as this series has been, I wish he would not have been as casual with the basketball at times last night. But what he has shown me is even when it was really, really tough to score last night, because make no bones about it, Oklahoma City's defense is legit. Like they are so obviously the best defensive team in the NBA. It's not even close. I think he's shown up.
Well, you could go back to Friday. Like the biggest problem with the play-in game against the Mavericks was that it was on a Friday followed by that Sunday game.
Sure.
That was a disaster. So we didn't get to revel in that moment because that was as close as we're going to get to like the playoff game atmosphere probably in this city, which we haven't had, and was an awesome win. And Ja showed up there too. And like, just, you can just tell that he's obviously the star and the leader that I believe in Ja. Being the guy that you can still build around, and the question is who is it going to be that they run with? But yeah, I've been impressed with. I think Ja's been impressive, but like, you know, Ja's impressive. Like, that's the thing. Like, Well, I'm talking about Ja. There's no way to trade Ja because I do think Ja sells you tickets even if you're a bad team, right? Like, he's got that magical power that a LeBron or whoever could have. Like, if you get to see this awesome guy play,
sure.
You could. If they're still sucking, that's fine. The problem is the Grizzlies have sucked and Ja's been out when they suck.
Correct.
So,
well, and I think a big problem with this year is this entire operation has felt like it's just riding Ja's emotions.
Oh, yeah.
And he's been moody, and he's been up and down.
Is the right coach with Ja going to be the right situation? Is getting some veterans on this team in some capacity, then will that help that? But anyway, you say, I don't know we needed this playoff series. That's how I view this question.
I think it was important to see.
Did we need this to know that the Grizzlies needed a new coach? Yes or no? Do you think?
Well, hold on for the coach.
We'll go back to the coach. But Ja, for Ja, we need to know this.
I do think it was important to see because even though we're watching him at a higher rate than everyone, I think it has been useful, and it's been a great reminder that at times in this series, as bad as the Grizzlies have looked, you can point to he still looks like the best player on the floor. And the MVP's been on the floor with him at the same time.
Right.
Or the presumptive MVP. All right, now
it didn't change my opinion on Ja. It solidified my opinion on the coach.
I think it was a good reminder because also Ja's not at 100%.
Sure.
And he's still being effective, and at times he's taking over.
And like the series isn't over yet either. So like, what could really change your mind is if
allegedly. Yeah. I'll say no. Yeah, it's over. It's over. But like,
could there be anything that's more factual and also more incorrect than that statement? Yeah, it really is. Like, it's a factual statement, but. Yeah, it's pretty over.
All right,
but
so now
the Ja could it's theoretically, if the Grizzlies win one of these games, it's going to be because of Ja Morant, right? So if the Grizzlies are able to win tomorrow night, Ja's going to be a big part of that. And so there's still that possible scenario.
If you tell me the Grizzlies are going to win, it's either correct. It's either Ja having the holy S game, or it's the Heat versus Boston last year where the Grizzlies made like 24 threes. And they shoot their way to a win. And Oklahoma City, like, there is also the element of, while SGA hasn't really played all that well, all things considered of how great he is, I do feel like almost everyone else on the Thunder's played unbelievably.
Yeah,
and they've had that home court, and it's hard to play in front of a group of people. I always say it's hard to play in front of a group of people all wearing the same T-shirt. So,
and sitting down the entire game.
Yeah, well, sitting down.
Honestly, at one point, like that was like the only thing that I was taking another positive. We made him stand up for 2 minutes.
Oh yeah, that was.
I mean, that was the real gut punch, and at least it came early. And not that like I had super high expectations, but when you saw the Grizzlies' defensive effort early, and they were getting legitimate stops, not like OKC just missing shots. Like the Grizzlies were playing very good defense, and then they just could not score on the other end of the floor, even despite getting pretty good looks. That was when you're like, okay, this is all she wrote, because you weren't going to stop OKC on your way to a win. Like, you were going to have to, like, I thought they had to kind of jump out in front, see what OKC looked like playing from behind a little bit. And
yeah, feel out the response.
Yeah.
I could totally see, though, like, to your point, if they're going to get a win, one, Ja's going to play well, which I think he's played well pretty much the entire series thus far. Game one, he was still the best player. But how many, like, could we totally see a win if Dez is just heaving heat checks and nailing them? Which he's done at times.
Dez or Kennard has a big shooting night. And then
that's positives that you can get. Those are positives that could still be to come, because if the Grizzlies are making a move, they're going to have to trade somebody. And if you can have some players not named Ja have excellent games in the postseason, it does not hurt their trade ability.
I agree. That's part of it. All right, now back to the coaching
question.
But
the positives, I'm still trying to figure out the positives, because there was always, like, the playoff experience was always considered possibly was going to be a positive for this team. Like, all right, they're going to get the playoff experience. I don't think the experience is – I don't think that's helping that much. But could it be giving them
I will say this,
a taste of what they could be having but they don't have? Is that a motivational factor long term? Maybe. I don't know. But
I think you can make the argument long term. It's unlikely that you're going to face as difficult of a challenge as this early in the playoffs. Like, this is clearly the league's best team. Turns out that the regular season was an indicator that, yes, this team is that good. it's unlikely that you're going to see a challenge like this many more times.
Sure.
Especially in the first round.
Right.
But the coach, to me, does this feel like, have you reached your conclusion? I feel like the front office and the fans have reached the conclusion, Jeffrey. It's a matter of, have you decided yet?
So
the Grizzlies need a new coach.
I've struggled with this one, and I get heat both ways, because I personally did not feel like it was proven to me that when the Grizzlies made the change and went to Tomas, that they got better. I think what clearly happened was Ja came back and played. Like, to me, that was, and
yeah.
I guess you could make the argument Edie was reinserted into the lineup, and but whatnot. But I don't really.
But yeah,
feel,
I could do that.
Yeah,
like, I could do that.
But we also don't know. Like, we don't know. Did the front office go, are you going to play Edie?
Right.
Cool. You keep your job. Everyone else, you're gone. Like, we don't. You know what I mean? Like, that could have been a directive. Like,
and it needed to be done. That, I mean, that is definitely
the
positive
no,
of this regime.
I totally agree with that. But I don't also. I don't feel as strongly that he's negatively impacting them. I've more.
Oh, I don't believe that either. But I feel like, I think because he does not have this, and we could talk about the NBA coaching carousel all we want, because I also don't feel like just because you have coaching experience, you're better than another coach. But I just.
If you consider failure experience.
Right. Right. But I feel like his lack of NBA experience is just not what this team needs. A veteran NBA coach that knows what needs to be done in order to win, and all the different scenarios that it just involves,
I
as
think
far as being in the playoffs.
I think this is true. They need a culture change, and whether or not that's
it's got to be the
blowing up the entire front office.
That means the coach has got to go, Jeffrey. If you're going to get this,
no,
a culture change, because he was on the staff of the
right.
Same.
But what I would say is, so to me, what I would say though is, if you're going to go full blow it up. And I'm not talking the roster. I'm talking blowing up the front office. I'd rather get the new guys in and let them pick the coach, because I don't think you need this.
Sure. Oh, yeah. I
you don't need
that.
To start off with the friction of, all right, you pick the coach before the GM, and there's just – we've seen, like, there's just this friction that comes with that dynamic. I would rather
– no doubt. That's would be the way to go.
I'd rather
if that's
pick
what
the GM. But I do think what's obvious is if you were to basically, even let's say that they tried to make moves and they weren't able to make moves. Because I do think it's fair to say to the front office, they've tried to do stuff, they just haven't been able to make the deals. But if you basically wind up in a scenario where you're entering into next season with largely the same roster, and you come in with Tuomas as the head coach, that's not going to sell an idea, sell hope. At least if you get a new coach, you can at least, hey, this is the changes that we're making. And this gets back to my original point. It's like, I think what gets used against fans is, oh, they're just out, they're sour, they're salty, they're haters. I think everyone is like begging, give me something. I want to believe. It's not even that much. And I think if you would do something like that, people would buy in. Yes, George.
To, like, that point, and this is kind of my general thought on, like, the coach and potential coaching change, I don't know how much bringing in one of the retreads that has gone place to place to place in, whether they're a veteran coach or not, is going to inspire that much hope of change when a lot of these guys, we've seen them at multiple places with talented rosters, not succeed.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's one guy that just got fired from a high-altitude area.
I don't know. See,
I think that's an attitude. Like,
I'd rather have Mike Brown.
I like Mike
and
Brown.
And I get one guy has a championship and the other doesn't. But right. I also think I've always felt like Mike Brown is basketball Buck Showalter. Like, I don't think it lasts long, but if you need like the 18-month like reset and kind of get the most out of it.
It's not a bad I don't disagree.
Like, I don't hate that.
Those guys are out there. But yeah, right. You're not just getting the
But, like, I guess my bigger...
But the Grizzlies have been the ones sending those guys out there, from
sure.
Jenkins to Fizdale to
sure.
Jaeger. Those are the guys you don't want. The Grizzlies got them before they became the guys who just
I
get
think,
picked
though,
up.
I've anymore. Always viewed NBA coaches as a lot like F1 drivers, where, in the end, yeah, there's a Max Verstappen out there. But for the most part, most of these guys, whatever the car is, that's kind of what they drive to. Like, good or bad. Like, they drive to the level of the car. Like... But Sebastian Vettel, when he's in a Red Bull that's the best car on the grid, world champion. Sebastian Vettel in an Aston Martin goes, I'm ready to go home to Switzerland. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's, I felt like most NBA coaches kind of, they're driving the car. And
I agree. I've always thought it was absurd to think that this team, which obviously is a youth pack team, right? Still to this day, very little true veteran NBA players on this team outside the ones who are slowly becoming veterans because they've been on the team for so long. But like, you've got to have a coach. You can at least get a coach that's a veteran.
No,
with Mike Brown, like you need to like, you can't have a rookie coach either.
No,
go along with it.
This is my only.
But I don't know if the playoffs have definitely told me. There needs to be a new coach, and I'm hoping that was the goal when Jenkins was fired for them to know if they need a new coach or not. Now whether or not
the question is,
we need an entire new
I think, though, that's
front office or not.
Is this a, because to me, the question would be, have they gotten a definitive answer? You seem to believe, yes. I seem to believe.
They lost by 51 points. I don't think Jenkins is losing by 51 points. I know.
See, that is interesting. First off, number one, that would be curious to know. And secondly,
there's no way. We'll never know.
Does it really matter?
Well, you could have fired Jenkins after game one. I don't know. And that would have at least put some hope going into tomorrow night. The problem is, so the other positive was supposed to be here, right? Like, we're supposed to, what are the positives?
I actually think a legitimate question. Should they have just letting ride with Jenkins? Because at least then, if you get into this situation, you could have made your, all right, we're firing Jenkins.
I want to fire him in the middle of the playoff series, right? We're making these historical moments.
Does that ever happen?
It feels like it just does not happen.
Don't give them any ideas.
But it would have been deserving.
Like, what if our phone blows up in like the next 24 hours? The Grizzlies have removed Tomas Isolo.
What, do you think it would sell more tickets for tomorrow night? I don't know.
I don't think it would, because I don't get the sense.
You don't want things to look too much in disarray.
I don't think I don't think people feel strongly one way or the other.
So the other benefit of this, of the Grizzlies, so, you know, we're trying to figure out the coaching stuff, trying to get some playoff experience, you know, getting that perspective. But it was also having playoff games, right? The both play-in games were awesome. Undisputed. Nobody's going to argue. The playing game with Golden State, even though the Grizzlies fell short, was so much fun to watch. And then the Mavs game, without a doubt, was one of the best atmospheres we've seen in that building in years.
Totally agree.
And just so much fun to watch. We're not getting that at all so far in the actual postseason. So we could have had all of that and missed. We could have like lost the last second shot to the Mavs and then got your draft pick. Not to say that that's, you know, how it works.
Sure.
But here we are going into tomorrow night. The benefit of game three, you're going to have two playoff games in your city. You're supposed to be selling tickets, excitement. It's going to be tough to judge because I'm not going to judge it based off of sellout or no sellout, because I don't think that's what we, I feel like if you're going to spend your hard earned money to go to a Grizzlies playoff game after watching these two games, I hope you're going to be able to get some type of what is a very unique experience, which is a NBA playoff game in Memphis, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Because it is happening tomorrow night, but will it
feel
like it?
I don't know, because I say that honestly. If you would have made me predict, I would have thought last Friday would have been kind of a flat, atmosphere.
It was awesome.
And while it wasn't to the rafters, it wasn't the biggest playoff game, it was a noticeably great playoff atmosphere. So that kind of took me a little bit by surprise. Like, oh, okay.
See, I wasn't surprised on that. What's going to go with this one, of course, we're coming off this big 50. You still can't get over the 51 plus whatever. We're at 75 something. What are we, 79? What's the number, George, of number of points Grizzlies have lost by? But the
51 and 19, right?
51, so 70.
70.
We're right at 70.
I also found one coach. One coach has been fired mid-playoffs, but it was very interesting circumstances.
Which was?
Jack McKinney.
Oh, yeah. Was he fired or was he?
No, he was fired, officially fired, even though Paul Westhead had been coaching the team up until the finals. But he was fired during that final series.
But was he back on the bench?
No.
Okay, yeah. Okay, that.
So we didn't have
very
really a true
different
active
circumstances.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So that makes
Other
sense.
Other than that.
So that
we're
was
not advocating for it to happen right now.
No.
But
Jason Siegel got to keep the job.
Westhead,
yes,
kept the job for a bit, and then they gave it to Pat Riley.
Jason Siegel played Westhead in that Lakers,
yes,
show.
Yep. That's right, yeah.
And it, a nice reminder of Jason Siegel can dunk.
Ooh, maybe that's high what the Grizzlies need yes, here. The cast yes. of How I Met Your Mother needs. But the so the positive of the atmosphere, I do feel like, right, and going to your point, because I'm kind of hesitant on knowing what it's going to be like tomorrow night, because it's a lot of money to spend to go down to but you know what you want. Typically, on a typical year in a typical series, win or lose, it's going to be worth whatever the ticket price is to go down to FedEx Forum for a playoff game, especially the game three, which the Grizzlies, like, game promotion staff, like, they bring it for game threes, right? Game three is like, you're going to get everything entertainment wise.
Oh, it's your Sunday best. It's like,
yeah, it's the best.
Yeah.
So they're planning on that.
For first date vibes.
But the issue is like, I'm believing now, not that it's a buy or sell, but I'm buying the fact that I think it's going to be a great atmosphere tomorrow. The question is, how long can it last, right? Like, the Grizzlies, once it gets out of control, that atmosphere is over. So is it worth it? Typically, you get four great quarters of Grizzlies playoff basketball at FedEx Forum, and tomorrow night you may only get 5 minutes, and you might be over in 5 minutes. Like, the excitement, the energy.
Yeah, I mean,
can deflate like a balloon out of that building so fast. And, like, do you just have 5 minutes? Like, it's going to be up to the Grizzlies.
I do wonder if maybe the biggest problem that I have with watching the Thunder right now is, man, you keep, like, waiting for them to, like, buy into their own press clippings. And, like, but
right.
God, they look like the team that's the underdog. They're the ones that are absolutely going balls to the wall. They're the ones that are diving on the floor. They're the ones that are making all the effort plays. And, I mean, this is the other thing. It's like, when they get in the open floor, like, I made the joke on Twitter, it looks like they have the Mario star. Like, they're just running so much faster. Yes. Like, it looks like Tyreek Hill. Like, it's like, God, they're fast. All of them. Just so fast.
Can we shake them with the FedEx Forum home court advantage
in
the playoffs?
Well, I mean, there is, like, this question of...
This team in particular has not experienced...
Can we lull them to sleep? And they think that, all right, we just have to show up. Like, can you catch them flat-footed?
It's an 8:30 tip.
8:30 tip, and then, you know,
they've had nothing but early tips in this game so far. I don't know.
Will the adage... I wish they had an earlier one last night. Will the adage hold true of role players play better at home? Because the Grizzlies have basically gotten nothing other than, if you want to say, Marvin Bagley putbacks. They've not gotten really anything from the role guys. So Grizzlies role players play better. Kennard hits shots. Scotty hits shots. Santi hits shots. Conchar maybe makes things happen. Like, these things, which when you say all this out loud, I can't believe they're losing this series. But could maybe the flip side also be true, where it feels like no matter who the Thunder put in, the guy just has an awesome game? Like, maybe they start to have average games.
I'm just hoping that the Grizzlies can get off to a decent start and not get to where, you know, it's trying to get within single digits.
Have the start.
And then get to single digits, and then you're back down 20.
It was like, have the defensive start that you had yesterday, and instead of going 0 for 11, go 7 for 11, and then all of a sudden the crowd's in it, and then crowd can be in it for the whole game.
Because that's the key, is keeping the crowd in it. I do think the crowd, no matter what the size is that we'll have there, of the capacity of that building, the crowd's going to be hyped for the start of the game, right? For the start of the game, it's still a playoff game in Memphis. The crowd is going to be hyped up, but it's not going to maintain.
No, the question is, can it last?
Yeah, how long can it maintain? It's going to be down for what the Grizzlies will do, because the fans can help. Home court advantage can help. We've seen it here before.
But all right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll do our TV timeout. We'll also get into the list during hour number two. We'll talk a little bit of Mania then as well. When we come back, we will do our TV timeout. Stick around. You're listening to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
If you're thinking about getting engaged, go see my friends over at Robert Irwin Jewelers, because they're the number one place to buy engagement rings. Why, may you ask? You get more choices at Robert Irwin Jewelers. They have a large collection of natural and lab-grown diamonds in all shapes and sizes. Also, you can make a custom-made engagement ring like I did for my wife. All I went in was had a couple of pictures of concepts that she liked, and we picked a center cut diamond, went and made it come to life. We came in under budget, and it is a ring that my wife absolutely loves. Also, don't forget at Robert Irwin Jewelers, if you make a custom-made engagement ring, you can do so with peace of mind, the mint-to-be guarantee. That means that for any reason, if you're unhappy with your purchase, you got a full 365 days to return it at the full purchase price, no questions asked. At Robert Irwin Jewelers, you can also have it your way. Every designer diamond engagement ring mounting at Robert Irwin Jewelers is fully customizable to accommodate the center diamond size and shape of your choice. Plus, you can choose from yellow, white, or rose gold, or you can get it in platinum. Don't forget about free ring sizing for life, as well as Robert Irwin Jewelers' free jewelry spa service for life. You can even ask her now and pay later with great financing options like 24 months deferred interest, or you can take up to 60 months to pay at a low APR. Five locations, Perkins Extended in East Memphis, Bartlett Town Center, South Lake Center in South Haven, two locations in Little Rock as well. Bigger, brighter diamonds, all at better prices. You can also shop online at rijewelers.com. All right, Kevin, it's time for our TV timeout. And I think I wanted to start here because this was a question. I don't remember if it was you in here that we were discussing it, but we were kind of wondering aloud, do we know where we're watching Grizzlies games next year? And Adam Silver, during a 30-minute conversation at CAA's World Congress of Sports, talking with ESPN analyst Bob Myers, wonder how he got the gig, he started discussing the local TV issues. And according to Silver, he said Tuesday, the most significant focus right now is solving the league's issue with in-market games being, quote, almost, you could say, trapped, end quote, in legacy media and cable. While he also shared thoughts on franchise expansion, quote, not a foregone conclusion, and global expansion, quote, he wants to plant flags all over the world. His most direct comments focus on the regional sports networks, which is what we watch the Grizzlies on. Silver told Meyer that rights fees have taken, quote, a 25% hit collectively. For some teams, it's around a 50% reduction. While noting that, quote, I will work through that, he added that 2/3 of the NBA teams are operating with RSNs that just came out of bankruptcy. That is Main Street Sports Group, a.k.a. Diamond Sports, the artist formerly known as artist, or I should say Diamond Sports Group, and some that were completely defunct, such as AT&T Sportsnet. Quote, I hate to make it so negative, but local game broadcasts are caught in legacy media, which is rapidly declining, and our young fans in particular, we used to talk about cord cutters, they're really cord nevers. It's not part of their lives to buy cable, and so local situation, by definition, will then get even worse. So
I disagree with a lot of this, some of that stuff that he says, but especially the legacy media thing, is not necessarily, it always sounds like it's a bad thing. The problem is the legacy media he's talking about, it's the RSNs. It's talking about Bally's / FanDuel / Fox Sports. Like, he's talking about those hard to find cable channels as being the legacies. Yeah, that's a problem. But if you talk about the actual legacies, like the Grizzlies going on Channel 5 for a few games this year, like if you're going to be on network television, I think that's the way to go. So the idea of like making legacy sound negative, maybe your current involvement with legacy random cable sports channels, the regional sports channels on cable, maybe that's not the way to go. But to say you would rather be on streaming than over-the-air television legacy, I think is a little misguided.
Yeah, I think it's also...
Not that he was saying both, but like...
It's a complicated issue because also he's pointing to local broadcast being down, but that also...
But they're all on these hard-to-find channels, well, or you have to subscribe to an app and all of that.
Furthermore, most of the RSNs went from... Like, part of the argument between FanDuel Sports Networks and the cable providers was the providers said, yeah, we'll take your channel, but we're putting it up on the premium tier. They moved it up from, like, the middle tier to the premium tier. So, for instance, if you wanted to watch Cardinals Braves today... In studio, we have the Comcast, whatever the middle package is, but you can't go watch the RSNs because it's been moved up to the premium tier. And so lot fewer people have that.
And I think he may just a little, I don't know if he's confused or what, because they just made a big deal with NBC, right? But so they obviously believe in in the old school over the air. But like I saw a stat here, Jeffrey, from like so Sunday, Easter Sunday. Remember the Grizzlies game? I can't remember what was the score of that game, George. What was the score of the Grizzlies game?
121-80.
What was it another positive from that game? Mm-hmm. By the way, I got to help teach my daughter how to read. Yeah,
yeah,
hundreds.
Yeah,
the number 100 with other numbers with it. Like we were really using
only
it as a math lesson.
Only one side though.
Yes.
Got
on
to
one
that
side.
Level, yeah.
Like this one is how much, and trying to do a lot of math education could happen. But the game was on ABC, right?
Correct.
Grizzlies lost by 51. They were never really in that game after the first few minutes, right? The first quarter, for sure, it was over. But that game rating was 4.45 million people watched on ABC, watched the Grizzlies get blown out by the Thunder. But then in primetime that night on TNT, it was Warriors-Rockets, a much more competitive broadcast game, right? Got 4.24 in the ratings, which means the Grizzlies blowout loss to the Thunder, because it was on regular television, if you will, the old
and
broadcast.
And Easter weekend is always a big TV watching weekend.
But both of those were on, you know, one was on broadcast television, like still, and one, the Grizzlies game got better ratings than the San Francisco-Houston game,
yep,
with two huge markets playing in primetime.
It actually might have been post-prime time. I think it tipped off at like 9.
It was 8:30. I think it was 8:30. Yeah, it was 8:30 tip. But
and on cable,
I mean, times
yeah.
matter, but that was on cable, and it did not do as well. I do think if the NBA is saying we're trying to get away from cable more so, then fine. But
so I got a theory.
What's that?
Because I agree with you. I don't think legacy media is the problem.
I don't want it to sound like it's like a negative term.
No,
yeah,
no,
I don't think
no.
It's,
I agree with you. Because it's now taken – legacy media is like – taken on a connotation of a pejorative. But what I do think he is trying to do is he's trying to take all these rights that they don't, these teams that don't have homes. I think he's trying to make it to where he devalues the RSN so much that now he can take it and package it as a extra league pass.
Yeah.
It's very obvious to me, and maybe he's right, but he seems to be a big believer in the direct-to-consumer platforms, whether it be Amazon, whether it's going to be Apple, YouTube,
sure, yeah,
ESPN, because that's the other interesting part of what's been happening. So ESPN is now – so I've had this theory that ESPN and Fox are quietly in this Cold War. And you see it most displayed in college football because Fox is the Big Ten and ESPN's the SEC. And I think quietly behind the scenes, like, they're making a lot of decisions, and that affects expansion, that affects, you know, the playoff formats and whatnot. But also, ESPN is now going to have to go to court, and basically the FTC has come down on them with the antitrust claims about they're trying to buy Fubo. But what ESPN is trying to, you can tell what they're trying to do is, because I believe the ESPN, whatever their new version of the app that they're going to sell for like $60 a month, their DTC version of ESPN is launching this fall.
Is it coming out this year? Is that soon? Okay.
So if you kind of read the tea leaves, Jimmy Pitaro, who's now the head of ESPN, so he goes and he gets McAfee. Well, Andrew Marchand of The Athletic also reported that before Cowherd re-signed with Fox and is moving to Chicago, ESPN made a play for him. And part of the idea is Pitaro basically wants, whether you're a McAfee person, a Cowherd person, but like that's your entrance to the app, is when you turn it on, you're like, okay, I'm going to go watch Cowherd. I'm going to watch McAfee. And he's accumulating all – it's very similar to like what we saw a lot of the streamers do in the early part of the decade, where they just started giving content creators these massive deals because they thought, all right, we're in this mad rush to get people to sign up for our streamer, and that ESPN's trying to build it up that way. But they're also in this antitrust battle over – what Fubo? So basically, Fubo sued ESPN, Fox, and Warner Brothers, who I believe were going to do the Venue app, which was basically going to be like, do you watch sports? here's your app. Like, they were going to package all their rights and put it up. And so Fubo, which has pretty good sports rights, they sued and said, like, this is a violation of antitrust. And all of a sudden, that lawsuit went away, and then we found out ESPN was acquiring Fubo. And now the government stepped in and basically is saying, like, hey, you're going to have to show your work on this one. Like, because this doesn't pass the smell test. So
what's going to – so the future of – because this is the last year of being able to watch Grizzlies games, the playoff games in general, on TNT, right?
Correct.
You can't watch –
No, on
TNT, though. TNT's done. This is the last season of TNT. But it's also the last year that the local teams can broadcast the games in the first round, which also goes back to last Sunday. Like, Sunday – ABC already has the exclusive deal. The Grizzlies did not broadcast Sunday's game.
I believe that's correct, yeah.
Because ABC's part of their deal is – that there would be no local broadcast on that. That's possibly why the ratings were higher, too, because if you're in Oklahoma City,
and it's
Memphis,
just,
you gotta
and just in general, to your point, networks are just massive.
But so going forward, there's no local broadcast during the playoffs. But also, you have this app. How much was it a month to do the FanDuel app? You had to pay $20 a month?
I think it was $20 a month. I think you could also access it via Prime.
I believe that's right. Or you could even go out of your way and buy individual games if you wanted to.
I did not realize that, but I assume they're like $4 a game, $5 a game.
It was something like that, yeah.
I think we're getting somewhere that's going to be a little bit more convenient. I do not like the current state of sports and when it gets complicated and inconvenient. Because we should be in an era where you should be able to easily watch everything on your phone, right? Like, you should be able, no matter if you're out traveling and you're at a restaurant out of town and you want to watch the Grizzlies, you should be able to whip it out, put it on your phone pretty easily.
Well, if you're a DirecTV subscriber, you can.
Well, there you go.
Just pointing it out. I mean, I do think that is where they're...
Cable is... It's like,
well, no, I think they are trying to... I think the problem is... So...
For the playoffs, are fine. I mean, I've got Max. I'm watching all the Grizzlies games.
Trying to make it to where I think they are aware that the majority of their young audience is watching on their phone. I think they're trying to do that. I think where the NBA has struggled is they are going to consistently fight this battle of selling your game rights, because essentially what we're talking about now is just exclusively the local rights to regular season games. They have a big problem in that their regular season and their postseason feels like completely different sports.
Right. So your regular, so it's only going to be regular season.
Right. So
games.
That's what you're
selling. What do you think? Where should they be? What would you think would be the easiest thing for the fans? What do you think?
I mean, the easiest thing for the fans would be somehow these deals that like Utah's doing, where what the Grizzlies have been doing. But I just don't think. I think that was a short-term solution, and what the biggest problem with that is. Even a place like Utah, where they were kind of prepared for it, they're not making enough money. I just don't think it's viable. So it seems to me like your best, if you want to say what is best for fans, I guess my question would be for you, what app do you think most of our listening audience, what app do you think they have the most of? Is it ESPN? Is it Prime? Prime Video, I should say.
Yeah, I mean, Prime at least, because my problem with the current system, if you had to get the FanDuel app to watch the games, you're not getting anything else you want with
correct.
That besides the Grizzlies. So the idea, if you are doing...
I mean, if you're a Braves fan, you get Braves games.
Sure.
Cardinals, I think, too. I don't think you have to pay for the extra package.
If it's packaged in with Amazon, at least you're getting free free whatever delivery deal they got, and you're getting some award-winning movies and television shows to go with it. And it's probably... is it still going to be $20 if you get it through Amazon? Like, that's still-
my guess is probably maybe you could talk me into where they tier it. If you want one team specifically, maybe it's $10 a month in addition as like a surcharge, or you could talk me into like $10 for a certain team, but $25 a month for all the teams.
But also, if it's included in regular ESPN app.